of the north, captives from that host of Phoenicia as far as Zarephath, and from Jerusalem as far as Sepharad, possibly a place in Assyria, will repossess even cities of the south, the Negeb, for the sons of Israel. That's Obadiah chapter 1, verse 20 of the Ward Green version of 2003. The word Sepharad in Clark's particular commentary, I can drag that down. We can take a look at that. Clark's commentary for Obadiah 1:20, which he also translates somewhat differently. He says, Zarephath. Let's go back to where we were there. That host of Phoenicia as far as Zarephath, and from Jerusalem as far as Sepharad, which is possibly a place in Jerusalem. I mean, in Assyria, excuse me. It has to do with the Israelites, though. The captives of Jerusalem are mentioned. From Jerusalem as far as Sepharad, possibly a city or a place in Assyria. The captives of Jerusalem are mentioned in the American Standard Version of Obadiah chapter 1, verse 20. He says the captives, or that translation says, the captives of Jerusalem that are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south. So let's look what the rest of our translation says. We'll repossess even the cities of the south, the Negeb. The word Negeb refers to the desert, which is south of Israel. And it was often used as... Oh, I've got something bright here on the screen. It was often used as a word to mean the word south also. But it comes from a root meaning dry land. It was a desert, the Negeb, in the south of Israel. Even cities of the south for the sons of Israel. These people will possess. The captives from that host of Phoenicia as far as Zarephath, and from Jerusalem as far as Sepharad. Those captives will repossess even cities of the south, the Negeb, for the sons of Israel. And Adam Clark says Zarephath is Sarepta, same place, with a different, slightly different language version of the name. A city of the Sidonians, he says, that would be the city of the people who lived in Sidon. Sidon was a city, a seacoast city on the east coast of the Mediterranean. That is, he goes on, they should possess the whole city of Phoenicia, called here that of the Canaanites. And he goes on saying, which is in Sepharad, hyphen, this is a difficult word. Some think that Bosphorus is meant, others Spain, others France, others the Euphrates, others some district in Chaldea, for there was a city called Sippora in Mesopotamia above the division of the Euphrates. Dr. Lightfoot says it was a part of Edom. Those who were captives among the Canaanites should possess the country of the Canaanites, and those whom the Edomites had enslaved should possess the cities of their masters. See Newcomb and Loth. That's the end of the commentary of Adam Clark regarding Obadiah 1 and 20. This is Clark's commentary. So you could look at that on Bible Hub. It's one place where it's available as of this video, which is being made today, this moment in time, January 11th, 2025. And in our study article, the Ark of Urartu of the Orient Express, we have the head of Sargon of Akkad called Sargon the Great, pictured there. Before we do that, let's look at this scripture from 1 Corinthians 4 and 13. Even starting in verse 11, down to this very hour we continue to hunger and also to thirst and to be scantily clothed and to be knocked about and to be homeless and to toil, working with our own hands. When being reviled, we bless. When being persecuted, we bear up. When being defamed, we entreat. We have become as the refuse of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. So entreat means we attempt to plead with people, not to commit, you know, evil against us by making defamatory statements about what they think about us, you know, spreading bad news or gossip, bad gossip about us. We entreat them not to do that. And 1 Peter 2 and 23 says, talking about the Christ, Jesus, when he was being reviled, he did not go reviling in return. When he was suffering, he did not go threatening, but kept on committing himself to the one who judges righteously. And another example of a scripture is from Lamentations, written by the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 45. It says, "You make us mere offscouring and refuse in the midst of the peoples." And this other thing that we want to look at here, Ezekiel 3 and 9. Well, there's a couple of them. "Like a diamond harder than flint, I have made your forehead. You must not be afraid of them, and you must not be struck with terror at their faces, for they are a rebellious house." And once more, Zechariah 2 and 8. "For this is what Jehovah of armies has said. Following after the glory, he has sent me to the nations that were despoiling you people. For he that is touching you is touching my eyeball." So Jehovah will take care of it if his people are persecuted or defamed or... what did the scripture say in... in 1 Corinthians 4 and 13. If we're being reviled. Reviled meaning, you know, spoken very ill of, and or having evil called down upon us or something like that. In that case, we bless. It's a beautiful scripture there. When being reviled, we bless. When being persecuted, we bear up. When being defamed, we entreat. That's how we respond to the bad treatment given to us, dished out to us by our enemies, basically people who don't like us for no real reason. They have no good reason for that. Except that we say things and we teach things that they find hard to accept because they've already committed themselves to some other way of doing things. And they don't wish to change. So that's what that's about. And, or for any other reason, of course. We don't need to know the reasons why people care to call down evil upon us or call us names or do things like that. But the head of Sargon of Akkad is in the Iraqi Museum, Baghdad, Iraq. Now, we're giving an alternate dating here. This is not the 2268 dating. In this part of the Ark of Urartu, the article, we're giving the date for Sargon year 1 as 2299. So all of what follows here in this paragraph, which is 1112 of part 2 of the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, chapter 11, paragraph 12, is based on the 2299 date. And if we use that date, this is what happens. According to this, in other words, according to this article, and is exactly, that is 2299 BCE, exactly 7 cubed years after the Trojan War of 2642. Maybe I should bring that down and see what we find. 2642 plus 7 to the power 3. It's not even true. How did I arrive at that? That's a mistake. What should it say? See, 14 years different. It's very bizarre. It says 2985. So what is the difference? Let's take the difference. 2299 minus 2462 or 2642? 2642. No, it's 343. That's right. Isn't 7 times 7 times 7? 343? Yeah, it is. So what is 7 to the power of 3? 343. 2299 minus 343. What? Oh, plus. Okay. Of course. Plus. Let's do that. Okay. Plus equals 2642. It is exact. So what did I do wrong the first time? I don't quite know. But it's a correct statement that was made there in the caption. Okay, he reigned for 55 years, 2299 to 2244. And the way that this is not right, is the way we can see this is not correct, is because there were 1903 years of astronomical records that were found by the servant of Alexander the Great coming from the land and beginning with the time of Sargon, or so we believe, from the, I think it was possibly the book of the observations of Bel that's being referred to by those observations discovered by the servant of Alexander, but whatever book it was, it had 1903, and we believe from that, when we add that number to the time of its discovery, which is about 330 BCE, the time of Alexander, we get 2233. See, and that's the reason, 2233 is the reason for the problem with the end of the reign of Sargon being 2244, because that means that he was no longer ruling when these observations began. But he wrote a book called The Observations of Bel, which contains observations of the heavens, so the astronomical observations should not have been at a time that began after his rulership. That's the problem with the 2244. It comes before 2233 in the BCE time period, because the years count backwards in the BCE time period. So that's the problem with the 2299, and that's why we eventually decided we should go back to the 2268 date for Sargon, year one, which would lower everything by 31 years, and then the 2244 would become, I'm just doing this in my head, it would become 22, what is that? Is it 31 between 99 and 68? Yeah, it is, I think. 31, so we'd get 22-13 for the end of his rule. If it was 55 years, but we don't have to give him 55 years then. So if we only give him 40 years, we add 15 to 22-13, and we get 22-28, right? We could still get 22-28 for the end of his rule if it was 40 years long. Yeah, 22-68 to 22-28 is 40 years in the BCE time period for his reign. So, and then the 28 also comes after 22-33, so it fits fine, you know, with the time of Sargon. But the number 2299 is 11 squared times 19, and 2244 is 2 squared times 3 times 11 times 17. But the other number, which is more favored by us, is this number 2268, which has a factor of 7. 7 times 324, right? And it has all these, it's also equal to 63 times 36. So, and that's the number that's so remarkable. It's so astounding. The number 2268 in our chronology has been such a special number. So, now, from the birth of Enosh in 5113 BCE to the death of Osiris in 2814 BCE, there is also an interval of 2299 years. So what if Osiris died in 2747, like we've been saying, as one proposal, from 5113 minus 2747, how many years would that be? 2366, right? Or let's say, let's take it down to 2685, which is what we said was the beginning of the new kingdom, Djoser. Oh, yeah, it's a bigger number, right? 26. If we want a smaller number, we have to go to some higher date, like 2780, the death of Shem. 2333. And that was a bronze sculpture there of Sargon. That picture there, showing he has a long beard that's got two points on the end of it, and he's wearing a hat, which is fairly close-fitting hat. What else can we say here? Let's read now, see if we can get all of this done today. Should be able to do it quite easily, but it's chapter 11, paragraph 12. The Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, that Hercules is Horus, the successor of Osiris, is shown by his mightiness, like that of Nimrod, and by the association between Hercules, in brackets Heracles, and Phineas Farsa in Greek myth, plus the Irish connection of Phineas Farsa to Babel. From Greek mythology, Belus is Mizraim, Osiris is Poseidon, and the Sumerian king List gives Mesh-ki-Angesher as the father of Ben-Merkar, who entered into the sea and vanished. In this view, Menes is also Mizraim, while Osiris is Cush or Hercules, a son of Cronus. And Cronus is the son of Uranus, the Greek father sky. We've identified Cronus as Jacob and Uranus as Isaac, known as father sky, because the Isaac, the word Isaac, the name Isaac, has these syllables, S and C. They're the only consonants, not syllables, consonants. The only consonants in the name Isaac are S and C. It's almost identical to the name Sky because of SK, and the sound of K being the same as the sound of the hard C sound. So we've got Isaac being Father Sky, Cronus is his son, Jacob, and Cronus, that's in the article called Joseph and Own, that article, but Cronus might represent Ham, a son of Noah. We say in this paragraph here that we're reading today, the date for Menes, because Hercules is the son of Cronus. That's why we're saying that in this case. But, I mean, there are many different ways of interpreting the mythology, but the date for Menes, in brackets Mizraim, is, in the genealogy, like this, 2752. Plus 62. If 2752 is the year one of Enmerkar, whom we have identified with Nimrod, then his predecessor, Osiris, began to rule, or Menes, began to rule 2752 plus 62, which is 2814, as we show there, the beginning of the rule of Menes in this particular view, which is not the one that we necessarily have ended up with using all of our other articles and putting them all together, but this is one view here which becomes a date of death of Osiris, the scorpion king. So Cush is Osiris, the father of Menes. So therefore, this is the death of Osiris, 2814, in this view, which differs from 2747. Let's see how much the difference is, just for curiosity. 2814 minus 2747 is 67 years different. And also, if we said 2711, which is another important date we had, 103 years for that difference. 2711 was sort of the time of the end of the Tower of Babel, because it allowed 28 more years for Kasakemwe, the Egyptian king, prior to the beginning of the rule of Djoser at the beginning of the Old Kingdom of Egypt in 2685. Now in this paragraph we're going to consider 2682 as the beginning of Old Kingdom Egypt, but we use the 22 years of Mr. Jackson, which I don't think are even appropriate, because he gets those 22 years as a consequence only of his own chronology. It doesn't apply to our chronology, so I don't understand why I use that now that I've looked at it for a longer period of time. But these dates are related by there being 70 years from after the eclipse of Nimrod in 2774 until 2704, and after that 22 years from Mr. Jackson to Thoth in 2682 BCE. Like I said, I don't think the 22 years is applicable in our chronology. Before Thoth, by 70 years, is 2752 BCE, when building began. It's the beginning of the rule of Enmerkar in our chronology, and the tower was under construction 43 years, with a dispersion of 2710, 70 years after Shem's death. Well, we can say 2711, 69 years after Shem's death, like we've been doing, which it's not written down anywhere, but the 2711 date that we found really works well here. And then there's, instead of one more year for the conclusion of the tower construction, because they gradually left off building, we say 2710 instead of 2709. We say still 2709 for the end of it, but we say that the time when they began to leave off was 2711, if that's the year of the dispersion. It doesn't have to be, because we also have been saying the dispersion occurred in 2745. So we have a lot of different chronologies that we have to try. And that's what, this is one of them. The dispersion of 70 years after Shem's death. Now, Nimrod ruled 6 years, I say in this paragraph again, before crowning himself Lugal, or king, as, quote, they gradually left off building the tower, end quote, 2709 BCE, which would be 43 years after 2752. They were building for a total of 43 years from 2752 BCE, the year 2752 being 28 years after the death of Shem, 2780. So that could be, that still allows Osiris to begin ruling in 2780, with the 28 years of Osiris being there. So we also don't have to abandon that chronology just because of the calculations of this paragraph. But from 2710 BCE to 2682 BCE is also 28 years, right? We said 2711 to 2685 is 26 years. That's pretty close, too. Also, okay, so that, let me think, 26, 1511 is 26, right? So that Nimrod may be seen as ruling 69 to 70 years, from 2752 to 2682, or 28 years. We could see that. From 2711 to, well, 2682 would be 29 years, I guess, but could be 28 in some months. And in good agreement with Mr. Jackson, page 283, the year 2552 BCE is 530 years after 3282. With Mr. Jackson saying on page 283 that Babylon commenced 531 years after the deluge of Noah. We have 530 here. The difference between 3282, the deluge, and 2752, a difference of 530 years. And from that same source, the Arabian kings are reckoned as follows: 2682 minus 395 plus 12 from Mr. Jackson plus 215 equals 2514. The Arabian kings begin in that year, 2514. From 2514 BCE, the year of Chedorlaomer or Gudea is still 2514 minus 215 minus 158 is 2141 BCE for Ninus or Chedorlaomer. But obviously this is a different number of years for the Akkadian kings, 158, because I mean, you can get different results depending on how many years you give each Akkadian king. But 2514 minus 215 is 2299. So this is assuming the 2299 for Sargon year 1. With Menes in 2814 BCE and Africanus giving 263 years for some first Egyptian dynasty in Manetho, according to Africanus from Syncellus, we have 2814 minus 263 is 2551 BCE. Nimrod dynasty ends. 2814 minus 263, 2551 BCE. And the first dynasty ends about 3,000 years Anno Mundi, or after 5550. 2550 is exactly 3,000 years, and so 2551 is approximately 3,000 years. Now, there was some document somewhere, I forget if it was the Kitab al-Magal, I think it might have been, but one of these ancient documents said that the first dynasty of Nimrod, or something about Nimrod's rule ending 3,000 years after Adam. Somewhere I saw this. That's where I got that from, I think. That's why I mentioned it, but I didn't give a reference here. But Peleg is born 2749, 3 years after the tower was begun. in 2752, in that view. And the Trojan War ended 40 years after Thoth began to rule in Egypt, enabling a date for the destruction of Troy City 1. 2682 minus 40 is 2642 BCE, the Trojan War, which we just began with in our beginning of this study of this paragraph, when we used the, or was it even in the caption? Yeah, in the caption, mentioned in the caption. So we've got a divine factor of 7 cubed, 3 divine factors of 7 in the difference there that could incline us to lean towards the 2299, but we can't resolve the 1903 years that way for the astronomical observations that were brought back to Alexander by his servant from the place where Sargon was ruling, right? Babylon, in as an Akkadian king ruling at that time. Did he rule in Babylon? But it was in that. It was very close to Babylon that he ruled, that the Akkadian kingdom was. And they were even, well, they were perhaps even near Eridu. One of the grandson of Sargon, one of his descendants, tried to rebuild the Tower of Babel. So the Tower of Babel is somewhere nearby where they ruled. And that was, we believe, at Eridu, the site of Eridu, which is nearby, fairly nearby to Baghdad, or near to Babylon, the ancient city of Babylon, which has long since been lying desolate a long time, as was prophesied in the Bible also, that Babylon would be a city laid desolate and haunted by porcupines and things like that. So that's all we have for today's study. We're just about out of time, so that worked out almost perfectly. I've had an astoundingly busy day today. I'm beginning to do a lot more distilling of water, which does take a fair bit more work. Got to pay for the filters that I use, and so on, but I'm distilling it after I filter it. And that's it for today's study, January 11th, 2025 of the Common Era. And the time is 20:42 hours, Canadian Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. And thank you so much for listening and watching. And on my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star, saying bye for now. We've just completed Chapter 11 of the article, The Ark of Urartu to the Orient Express, today. And that was paragraph 12 of Chapter 11 of Part 2 of The Ark of Urartu today. And we're coming up to this Chapter 12, The Ark Site, which is a very interesting chapter. I hope you will possibly join us. And this is a picture of it at the beginning of the chapter, a map that I made.